Blog Talk Radio.
Today we're going to talk to Eileen Mueller. We're going to talk about her books, creativity, and she just won a very prestigious award, so we'll talk about that too. Welcome, Eileen.
Hello, Sherry. It's nice to be here.
Oh, it's great having you here. I'm really excited to chat with you. Why don't you tell our audience a little bit about yourself and your background?
I am a marketing consultant. I grew up in New Zealand. I travelled to Switzerland in the early 90s and met my handsome prince, which I think was a bit funny. I always tell him he was the toad I had to kiss to find the prince. And I brought him back to New Zealand, and we live in a little fairy tale world here in Wellington, on the edge of a hill overlooking the harbour, with some beautiful bush around us. And I stopped working as a marketing consultant to have children, and I have four children. The oldest is 18 and the youngest is 8.
Wow.
And I've got two boys and two girls, and we're always busy. And we also had another little boy who passed away when he was 2, so that was quite a sad episode in our story. And in terms of writing, I've been writing for about 7 years, and I only came out of my writer's closet in 2013, so that's 3 years ago, when I went to a national science fiction and fantasy convention and met a lot of cool people and a lot of other writers and started working with other people, which has been great fun.
That's amazing. Wow, what a spread for your kids. You must be incredibly busy.
Yeah, the big ones are fantastic. They help a lot with the younger ones, and they all get along pretty well, so we're pretty lucky. But, you know, having two teenagers is fun. They give us a lot of roller coasters in life. At the moment, they're good. So we're just crossing our fingers and hoping it stays that way.
Aww. I hear through the grapevine, a little bird that we both know, tells me that you won a big award. It's the Sir Julius Vogel Award. Do you want to tell a little bit about that?
So the Sir Julius Vogel was our first Prime Minister in New Zealand, and he wrote fiction, and one of the stories he wrote was about women being in all the positions of power. Now, to him, this was quite a fictitious, a fictitious scenario. However, New Zealand had a female Prime Minister, had two female Prime Ministers, and we were also had women's suffrage. We were the first country to have women's suffrage, where women got the vote. So we were quite a forward-thinking country. So when they established the awards, they named them after him, since he was known for writing fiction, which we can all laugh at now because there are a lot of women in positions of power all over the world. But it, you know, still a lot of progress to be made in that arena. So the Sir Julius Vogel Awards are the National Science Fiction and Fantasy Awards for New Zealand. So that encompasses fantasy, horror, and science fiction writing.
That's amazing.
And I won, the award I won was for Best Youth Novel. And that's very exciting for me because there was some tough competition on the list. And I was very nervous, and I was sitting at the back of the room, sitting near one of the guests of honour, Juliette Marillier, who's quite a big Australian writer who was born in New Zealand. And I said to her, "Oh, I've got no chance." And she said to me, "Don't worry, you're on the shortlist. That's important." I thought, yep, she's right. And then when they read out my name, somebody had to nudge me and say, "Hey, you're supposed to go up the front now." I was just sitting there absolutely shocked.
And that same little bird said he burst into tears.
Yeah, I did. And I spent all night. I'd been quite emotional. It had been a very long weekend. We talked 90 youth in the weekend. This is at the National Science Fiction and Fantasy Convention. We had three classes of 30 kids, and we taught them on the Friday, so we rotated, so I got to teach three classes and meet all the kids, which was fantastic because they all love dragons, which was a few of my books are about, and they're incredible. These kids sat there for 6 hours, and they were completely focused just writing and doing all the exercises we suggested and coming up with some amazing prose. There are a couple of kids in particular that I was very impressed with. So that was really rewarding. And then we'd had all the classes all day, Saturday and Sunday, and I'd been on several panels and convening a couple of panels. And so I was pretty tired by the time the awards came around. And when I found out it was me, I couldn't believe it.
Aww, I think that's great.
Yeah,
that's so
super. I stood there and smiled. Yeah, and everybody in the audience with tears streaming down my face and just thanking all the people I knew that had helped me. And the list is quite long. I think when you're a writer, you write... Yeah, you write on your own, but then when you start connecting with the community and you connect with your fans and you get into anthologies with various editors and publishers and do collaborative projects with other writers, and of course my publisher was sitting there just beaming and taking lots of photos. She was very happy. And that brings a whole sense of community. When you win an award, you know that it's not just you that's won it. It's all the people behind you. Your critique groups, the people that help you brainstorm to come up with ideas. And, there's a lot of people behind every award, I think.
So it was like the Oscars. I want to thank my management and my...
and the lady who did my fingernails. You know?
And my costume
my nails
lady and my
exactly.
hair.
And my makeup artist. I didn't have one of those. But I did have a fantastic... Yeah? What were you going to say?
Oh, no, I just think it's kind of fun. I mean, when you're watching... We have the Tony Awards coming here this weekend, and I'm just expecting one of those speeches.
Yeah, I hear those. And it's quite funny, because when you get up there, you see... Well, I felt quite humble. I felt very humbled that I'd been chosen, because it's a vote, and I have no idea how close it was. Or, you know, there was a big gap. You just don't know that information. So I felt very humbled because when I looked out, I saw someone was in the audience, another publisher who had given me my first literary award, and that was in 2013, and it was a contest, and I'd won the writing contest with the beginning of a story I'd written, which isn't published yet, and that story was about dragons. That was my original story, and a young adult novel, and she had loved it, and two judges had awarded it, but she sort of formed quite a personal connection with me afterwards, chatting about it. And she was sitting in the audience, and I thought, if I hadn't met her, then some other people wouldn't have known Lee Murray and Dan Raybarts, who had an anthology open at the time, and they wouldn't have known about me and invited me to submit for that anthology, and I wouldn't have got my first story published. And also because I'd won that award, someone else approached me and said, would you submit to our anthology? And I got really involved and ended up sub-editing that one and learning a lot. And so I think it's through these, you know, by small means, we get to know people and our network spreads out and our work gets in front of people and they get to appreciate it and enjoy it and we get to work with others and help them build their work. I've been an editor on an anthology too, and quite a few of those authors that were in the other anthologies submitted work, and it was all a blind process. But we had an anthology called The Best of Twisty Christmas Tales, which is crazy Christmas stories from New Zealand. Of course, we have Christmas in summer, and we have Kiwis here, and all sorts of unusual wildlife. So a lot of stories came in featuring those sort of aspects, which made it fun. And we had some top New Zealand authors in that anthology. And I think it just starts, you know, if you're a writer who's starting out, it's nice just to meet others and make connections, and you never know where they're going to go.
That's really cool. What inspires you? How do you come up with your ideas when you start working on a story?
Okay, maybe I'll talk about Dragon's Realm, which was the novel that won Best Youth Novel. This is interactive fiction, so it's quite interesting. Usually when you're forming a story, you come up with different ideas and you might brainstorm, talk to other people, pull ideas out of a hat, think, what if this could happen, or what if we were in a world where dragons flew around, and what if they could talk to us, and what if we could read their minds, and what if they were sentient creatures that you know, loved humans, and you had these amazing relationships, and what if there was magic, what if there were monsters, so what a thing is quite a good way of brainstorming, and then usually you hone your ideas and you throw ideas away. But when you're writing interactive fiction, which is similar to a pick-a-pass type book, the brand, my publisher's brand is You Say Which Way, and the slogan is You Say Which Way the Story Goes, which is quite cool. It means that when a kid opens a book, they read a scene and they get to choose where they go next, and there are links at the end of every chapter that take them off into great adventures. And when you're writing those, you have to make sure you don't have too many choices, otherwise you end up writing 45 endings and the book would be the size of an encyclopedia. But the good thing is the more ideas and the more diverse ideas you have, the more stories you get to write for kids and the more they get to explore possibilities. And when I wrote the beginning of that story, I had written it quite differently, and the publisher said, oh, that's not quite our market. You know, she said, write a first scene and we'll have a look at it. And I wrote the first scene, she said, that's not our market. And then I wrote the scene again and she said, okay, that's great, that's our market, but you have to, we're writing in second person, so we're always writing you. I can read you a little sample later and you can see what it's like. But we're writing about you because you're the character who orchestrates your own story. So you can't give that character a mother or a father or a cousin or a brother because they may not have one in reality. And the character is the reader. So it's quite interesting writing interactive fiction. But once I got that initial first scene right and pegged it, then I could go off in lots of different directions. So...
They used to have those in book form. I don't know. I mean, that you could buy a book and it would have like all these. You would like start a story. Let's say it's like an Agatha Christie style mystery, and you read the first three, like maybe two or three chapters, and they say, okay, which way do you want to go? And then it says, if you want this to happen, go to this page. And you want this to happen. It wasn't as easy. It wasn't like, oh, you hit this link. It was you had to think a bit and go to the right page.
Mm. And you have to make decisions. And these books are really good for reluctant readers. We gave one to a friend of mine, to his son. And how old is he now? He's 11. And he doesn't like reading that much. But he had seen my kids reading them at our house, so we gave him one to take home, and he absolutely loves it. He came up to me the other day and said, my favourite part is, they call you that funny name, and it's not you, and the guy keeps mistaking your identity, the great Zabongi, if you make a particular choice, that they call you the highly esteemed great Zabongi and start bowing down to you, and it's quite hilarious, it's quite silly. But he thought that was really, really funny. And this is a kid that would never normally read a book. He'd rather sit in front of a video game. But because he can be interactive, because he can make choices and choose what he's doing in the story, he loves it. And it's not as long as each of the scenes are not as long as an entire novel. Some of them are shorter, some of them are longer, so it caters to different kids. But they read long and they know that sooner or later they get to choose something. And so people who aren't that keen on reading, young readers, this range of books are brilliant for them because it means that they can get involved and they can be proactive and make some decisions. And the books are available in paperback form and an ebook, which means on an ebook they just push a hyperlink and they get taken to where they're going, and on a paperback they go and find the page number. That's quite handy. So in terms of finding ideas and creativity, I think you can always use people around you. We probably shouldn't say that as writers, but you hear funny phrases and you hear odd things people say. I brainstormed some dragon ideas with my kids on this one and they came up with ideas. I have a critique partner who's absolutely brilliant. His name's Peter Friend, and he always comes up with the most ridiculous ideas, which kids just love. So he's very handy. Sometimes I phone him and say, I'm stuck, we want to go here. So don't be afraid, if you're writing, to go and reach out to other people and ask for their ideas. You don't have to take them. And you always change them to make them your own. So Peter may give me a good idea and I change it completely, but take the essence of what he said and do something slightly different.
Yeah, that's true. I think that's where I get my ideas from.
And some books, once you write one book, sometimes they spawn another idea. There's a prequel to Dragon's Realm, which came out later, called Attack on Dragon's Realm. And that's a little more, it's got some battle scenes and things in it, which we don't have in Dragon's Realm. And they contain minimum violence, not a lot of violence, but there is some. So that might be for slightly older children, maybe 11 to 12 year olds. But having said that, in that story there's a sidekick who has a very bad sense of humour. And he's always making terrible puns about dragons. And they're bad. They're really bad. And so the main character's rolling his eyes and groaning. And there's an interesting development because, of course, by the end you have the main character joining in, trying to make some bad jokes. And the other guy's like, what are you doing? Why are you making jokes? Now I'm singing instead. Some silly things in there. But as a result of that, Everybody I knew started making dragon jokes, and so we started jotting them down, and then we published a little dragon joke book, which is quite funny as well.
Oh, that's cute. So it launched a dragon joke.
Yeah, so you
have
spin-offs. Yeah, so when you're writing one thing, you have ideas for something else. So my encouragement to people who want to be creative is always to start, and once you start, you'll get more ideas for other things.
Do you have any new books coming out that you'd like to talk about?
Well, I have a couple that have come out. I have Attack on Dragon's Realm, which is a prequel to Dragon's Realm, and that's just been out for a couple of months. And that's an interesting book because at the beginning, it's set in the same world as Dragon's Realm. At the beginning, there are monsters attacking a settlement, and three youth have to make a decision about what they're going to do. One of them trains as a dragon rider, one trains as a wizard, and the other one trains as a warrior. And each of them has to overcome fears and overcome weaknesses to be effective in battle. The book is interesting because it splits. We have one scene at the beginning, and then you have three different stories in the middle, and then a common scene at the end. And each of the middle chapters interweaves with the others. So you get stories where the characters interact and battle and do different things. But there are three distinct stories in the middle and then one ending. Yeah, so you can read the beginning and then you choose whose story do you want to read first. You read them all in different order and then go off and read the end. So that's also slightly interactive as well.
That's kind of fun, though, because what you can do is you can read the one way that you go and then you can say, I'll go back and then go in the other way that you go.
Mm-hmm.
And that must be fun, like you said, for people who don't read very much.
Mm. Well, my son, I've got one particular son, he's 11, and he's very, very logical. And he said, I read the book, Mum. And I went, wow, that was fast. How did you finish it so fast? Have you read everything? And he said, no. This is with Dragon's Realm, the You Say Which Way adventure. I've read the path that I would choose if it was real life. I've made my choices. That's it. I don't need to read it again. I said, are you sure? And then he said, I suppose I could go back and find out what happened. So in the end, he did go back and reread again because he got really curious. But it was interesting that he thought that there was one particular way and that was the way that he would go and that was it. It wasn't an exercise of having fun and having a game. It was an exercise of this is how I would decide in real life. And I saw him sitting there pondering and thinking about each decision very, very carefully. So you get very serious kids like that. And then you get the kids who say, oh, let's see if I can go die. Let's see if I can kill myself along the way. The good thing about the You Say Which, those kids are hilarious. The good thing about the You Say Which Way brand, and it varies a lot from the old Picker Paths and similar books from earlier, is that we try and have as many positive outcomes for the kids as possible. And if there's going to be a negative outcome, then we make sure there are warning signs. Are you really sure you want to run off into the forest alone when there are dangerous monsters lurking around? And you give them a couple of choices, and if they're intent on doing that, then they get to live out what will happen at the end of the choice. And at the end, they get a little bit of advice, and then they get to click back and go back and see what would have happened if they'd chosen differently. So that's quite good.
Are you sure? It's like one of those horror movies where the person or the Star Trek, where the red shirt always gets, are you sure you want to be an engineering person or a security person? Because,
it is a bit like that. It really is. It's, it's big neon, the warning signs, or you let them make decisions that have weight and impact. So in Dragon's Realm, there's a theme of bullying. At the beginning of the book, you've got some bullies chasing you, and they chase you, you're going to school, they confront you, you run away, and you end up going through a portal into Dragon's Realm. Now, in some of the story threads, which is what we call the various stories that you choose and pick, they're called threads. In some of the threads, you confront the bullies. In other threads, you come home and you confront them when you get home. But in every single thread, we examine how you can deal with the problem of bullying. And you get different tools and a different toolkit as to how to deal with difficult relationships. And none of it is preachy. It's all through fun and adventure and often a lot of humour. I don't want to give any spoilers. I'm thinking of all the different outcomes with the bullies, but there are some where you team up with them, and do stuff. And sometimes you team up and have fun. Sometimes you rescue them. There's a particular scenario where you choose not to rescue one of them when you should. and the outcome isn't that positive for you, as you can
yeah.
imagine. But, you know, but none of it's preachy. It's all good fun. And at the end of each story, you get congratulations. This is what you've achieved, or we're really sorry. Maybe you could have, you know. And so it's all about kids exploring, like with these bullies chasing, and they're quite humorous bullies. I can read you a little bit at the beginning of the book if you want, and you'll see that we've handled the bullies with quite a bit of humor, and they have larger than life personalities. They actually steal the show every time they come into the scene. They're quite funny.
Well,
would you like me to read you a little excerpt from the beginning?
We don't have that much time.
We don't have that much time. Okay, that's all right.
I'm sorry.
The bullies are The bullies are called the Thompson twins, but there's actually three of them. They're triplets. But they're not so clever, so they can't count. So they don't actually realize they're triplets, and they call themselves the Thompson twins.
Oh,
and
God.
Anyway, they chase you through Dragon's Realm, which is quite amusing. Yeah.
Well, that's funny. You have some events coming up that you want to talk about?
Yeah, we have at the moment on my website, we have a Dragon Limerick contest that's running. As I said, when you have some creative ideas, then it spawns others. And you would know that, Sherry, because you've done some writing and you've developed radio plays and are here and done quite a bit of work in that arena. So sometimes when you're working on one thing, you think of something else.
Mm-hmm.
And with the Dragon joke book, I mentioned it in a forum. We're brainstorming titles. It's called Fantastic Dragon Jokes. With that book, another writer, so I feel a limerick coming on. She started writing the beginning of a limerick and went back and forth until we had one, and then we wrote a few, and then I wrote about 20 or 30. And then I thought, oh, we could put these out as a little collection for kids, you know, just a little 99-cent book on Amazon. And then I had a few kids say, oh, that sounds cool, and tried to write some too, and some of them were pretty good and some of them weren't so good. So we've opened up a Dragon Limerick competition, which is over on my website. So that's very exciting. And one of the big events we've just had has been our National Science Fiction and Fantasy Convention. That's been huge. It's been a very big weekend. I'm just recovering from that at the moment. And I'm hoping by the end of the year to have a new book out in Dragon's Realm, but it'll be for young adults as well.
Do you still do signings in person, or do you do takeovers, or do you do online events? How do you go about usually promoting your books?
Okay, so I've got some free books available on my site for kids, just for kids at this stage. I write young adults, but I've actually got some of my young adult work out on submission at the moment, so I can't talk too much about that. I've got a paranormal romance out there and a martial arts book for middle grade. And we do some online events, but I haven't got any of those coming up at the moment. But one of the things that readers can do is go to my blog and download some free books. I've got a couple of free books up there where they just pop onto EileenMullerAuthor.com or Eileen Mueller. But what I'll do, Cher, is I'll pop in after we've finished our chat, and I'll put my website on the in the comments so people can find it. And
okay.
If they want to come over and have a look, they can visit your site and click on it, and they can pop over and get some free books or enter the Dragon Limerick competition, or just go and have a look and see who I am, see what we're doing.
That's great. They're going to I will be having all this information on my blog, so they'll be able to see it
mm-hmm.
that way too. Do you have any, I don't know how I put this. What is your great passion? Do you have anything that is your greatest desire to complete, or your passion in life?
Wow. I think writing's become one of my passions, but I am very passionate about literacy with children. And one of the things I did years ago was I started a campaign in New Zealand called Books for Fiji. And I ended up collecting 45,000 books for Fijian school children. And I worked through a local charity and then went to Fiji, and we donated some of the books, and I got to meet the kids there. And I was so struck when we opened the boxes. So the first school we went to, we took about 2,500 books with us to that school. And the kids opened the boxes up, and I just had this Western sort of expectation that kids would start pulling the books out and looking at them and, you know, and just scrabbling through the box to see what was in there. And none of them did. They opened the top of the boxes, we let the kids open them, not the teachers, and we're outside on an island sitting on the grass, and they opened the boxes, and each kid pulled out a book. The first book they touched, they just sat down, opened, and started reading.
None of them
dug through the boxes to see what else was in there. Each kid just took the first book they got their hands on and sat down and started looking at the pictures and reading. And we sat with them and just read really quietly with them. And there was no big hubbub and loud noise. And it was nearly silent as they all just sat there reading and murmuring the words to themselves. And I think that was really beautiful to me.
It is. Wow.
Yeah, just to see that there were books from schools, you know, secondhand books. Some of them were nearly new books. We had quite a lot of new books donated. And 45,000 of them went to kids that had no English reading materials. They had materials in Fijian. They were learning English in school, but they didn't have anything to read. And I love getting involved with my community and doing things like that as well. That was the biggest community project I've run. And one of the other things I did is I was storylines coordinator in New Zealand, which doesn't mean a lot to anyone in the States, but Storylines is a charitable trust which champions children's literature in New Zealand. So I would organise big events and we'd have 4,000 people come through and they'd be doing fun things with authors and illustrators and storytellers. So I imagine you would have been perfect on that because you love interacting with people, Sherry.
Yeah.
And we got authors doing fun things like telling impromptu stories on stage while illustrators illustrated them, and the kids had to give them the prompts and the objects. And
that's fun.
Yeah, it was really good fun.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
And we had improvisational theatre where, but it was with illustrators. So we had three illustrators with flip charts. And it was called a quick draw, and a kid from the audience would be selected, and they'd say, draw a book, draw a helicopter, draw a plane, draw a mushroom, an exploding something or other, you know. And they just brainstormed, and the illustrators all had 1 minute each to draw. So that was loads of fun. It was really, really good fun.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of different activities. Yeah. And we had the Army. We got the New Zealand Army involved because we had some books on World War One. It was, you know, it's just been a big anniversary, so there were quite a few books out there to educate kids. So we got the Army in to let kids try on backpacks and you know, put on camouflage paint and eat hardtack. They hated it. and you know, biscuits baked to authentic recipes. There's a waste paper basket because most of the kids couldn't eat them.
Yeah, they couldn't eat it, yeah.
So a lot of interactive
activities.
Same
with our stuff, too.
Yeah, those poor soldiers.
It's
don't you feel
disgusting.
Sorry for them? Yeah.
Yes, I do. My brother was in the Army, and he said it was just awful.
Yeah. So I guess, Sherry, and you would know this too from theatre, that I think one of the keys is to interact with your audience as an author, to be out there meeting kids and doing things with them. I've got a couple of school visits lined up here in New Zealand, but a lot of my readers are actually from the States. So, you know, because a lot of our product sells on Amazon. So, they can feel free to pop by my blog and leave some comments and then we can have a little interaction that way, email each other. But I have to talk to my publisher about doing more sort of online activities and events and things because that hasn't been one of the things that they've organised much of at the moment. But as I said, readers can pop by and get some free books from my blog. And is there anything else you wanted to talk about? Because I think we're nearly out of time, aren't we?
Well, actually, we're almost out of time. I wanted to thank you for being on the show. It's really been enjoyable. I hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah, I've had a really good time. I haven't gotten to know you very well. I was hoping to ask you a few more questions. Because I saw that you'd put up an interesting picture book about all kids being different. And I think that's very, very important thing to acknowledge in this world, that everybody can be their own special type of beautiful. And so I really like that book.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that's my baby. Different is beautiful. I love that. That's like one of my proudest books that I've written, and part of the proceeds goes to anti-bullying charities. And
that's
my baby. Thank you for mentioning it.
Yeah, that's really good. And I'm quite passionate about kids not being bullied too. I think that was part of the impetus for the Prompts and Twins in Dragon's Realm. And it just gives kids a different way of dealing with things with humour and gives them lots of different options for exploring how to handle relationships. I mean, relationships are a lifelong work and we're all going to be working at them. So I think it's good if kids get that in a fun way with adventure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Mine's for little ones, little toddlers. So I didn't want it to be scary at all. I just want them to accept other people. That's what you hope for, at least. The outcome is that people learn to accept each other. We are at the end.
And my book is not a scary one either. Just to note this for the adults who are thinking of buying books for their kids, it's not scary. It's all handled in quite a lighthearted sort of manner, you know, and there's nothing too scary. Yeah.
Thank you, Eileen.
Thank you very much. It's been wonderful to talk to you. Yeah, it's been wonderful to talk to you. I've really enjoyed being on the show, and I look forward to meeting some of your listeners.
Thank you. And I'm sure a lot of them will be checking out your website. Thank you. And thank you for chatting with Sherry.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.